If you have your Bible with you tonight, please get it and let's turn together to James chapter 5. James 5, our text this evening is verses 7 through 12. And as you've turned there, let's pray real quickly, asking the Lord's blessing on our time in His Word this evening. Let's pray together. Father, we again look to You, and as we come now to hear Your Word read and preached, we pray that You would attend it by the empowering of Your Spirit, that we would not be merely hearers of Your Word tonight, but that by the working of Your Spirit and Your blessing on Your Word, that You would make us doers of Your Word, that it wouldn't fall on soil that doesn't produce fruit, but that You would prepare our hearts so that the seed, the good seed of Your Word, would bring forth fruit to the glory of Your name. And I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. If you hadn't already seen the title to the sermon this evening, and if you don't have a bulletin, the title to the sermon this evening is the Principle and Promise of Patience. But if you hadn't already heard that title, and if you hadn't already heard me read this passage, and I were to ask you to guess at what the most emphasized Christian virtue of the first few centuries of the Christian church was, or what early Christians thought was the most important matter for winning people to Christ, I don't think that many of us would have given the answer patience. But in fact, that is the answer to those two questions. That is, before any other virtue, like love or joy or peace, was ever written on, at least what we know. The virtue of patience had no less than three major works written on it by three of the most prominent theologians of the early church. In 200 AD, the church father Tertullian wrote a book entitled On Patience. 50 years later, and they say that likely he had Tertullian's book sitting on his desk as he wrote, Cyprian of Carthage wrote another book called On the Good of Patience. And about 150 years later, St. Augustine in 417, he wrote a book also entitled On Patience. But even before any of those three works were written and actually beyond them, Christians were citing patience as the preeminent virtue whereby unbelievers would be drawn to faith in Christ. Justin Martyr, around 150 A.D., so this is just a little over 100 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he wrote to the Emperor of Rome at the time, a work called his Apology. It was his defense of the Christian faith. And Martyr wrote this, "By our patience and meekness, we draw all men from shame and evil desires. Many who were once on your side have turned from their ways of violence and tyranny, overcome by observing the consistent lives of their Christian neighbors or noting their strange patience." Clement of Alexandria, who was born just right before Justin Martyr was martyred, he was killed for his faith in about 165, as when he was born. But Clement of Alexandria wrote that Christians show themselves. In other words, a Christian is revealed in patience and endurance. Christians show themselves in patience and endurance, and then he goes on and says, in life, behavior, words, and practice, night and day, which he said actually leads others to repentance and conversion. I could go on and on with more quotes from early Christianity, but I want to turn now to the matter of patience and what the point of this emphasis actually was. And so the first of just two points tonight, if you're taking notes, it's not very clever or creative. It just follows my outline. The first point is the principle of patience. The principle of patience. And probably the most succinct thing I can say about the principle of patience, which is the point of both James and those who have already that I already quoted here this evening, the most succinct thing I could say is that patience was seen as the proof that one had faith in God. Patience was seen as the proof that somebody was a believer. That is, the evidence that one was trusting in the Lord was that they waited patiently for Him and the fulfillment of His promises. That was the proof that one actually was trusting in the Lord. For instance, if you really believe that God will avenge all wrongs that have been done against you, then you will patiently wait for Him, and you will not feel the need to fight back and get revenge yourself. If you really believe that your Heavenly Father's will for your life is the best thing, then you will patiently wait for Him to provide you with the things that you need and desire in His perfect time. If you really believe that Jesus is Lord of all, that He's coming back again, then you will live in a way that demonstrates that belief, patiently waiting for and preparing for the return of the Lord. You see, in essence, patience is a sort of single word description. The predominant characteristic of a consistently lived Christian faith. A consistently lived Christian life. Waiting on the Lord, waiting for His will, waiting for Him to act is faith. And that was the main way that patience was talked about and understood in the early church. If you wanted to describe the way Christians lived in this world, if you wanted to describe the way that Christians interacted with their neighbors or with unbelieving family members, or if you wanted to describe the way Christians conducted themselves at work or in their businesses and in their business practices, patiently would have been the answer. They didn't fight back. They didn't lose their cool. They didn't force things. They waited. They patiently endured trials and tribulations, and they trusted that God would, in His perfect time, work out His will in the world. And in fact, their evangelistic methodology could be summarized by patience as well. It's quite a study out there. Some of you maybe have read books on it. Many have wondered, and there's been quite a few theories written on the phenomena that is the growth of the Christian church in the circumstances that it was birthed into. And yet the rapid growth, I mean, it went from this tiny band of an outlawed religion to become a threat to Judaism, to become a threat to the Roman Empire, to then become the official religion of the Roman Empire, to today being the largest religion in the entire world. How did that happen? How did Christianity grow from something so insignificant, from such insignificant beginnings, to what it is today, especially in light of the fact that it began in the context of great persecution and oppression? There was nothing that would attract a person in the sense of for their well-being to become a Christian. So what did they do? What methodology did they follow to take over the world? Well, when we look to see what they did, all we can find is that they sought to live consistently Christian lives in word, in work, in practice. And we are not guessing at that, and we're not arriving at that conclusion from a silence. It is, in fact, what they actually said about themselves. Cyprian, that North African bishop I quoted a moment ago, in 256 AD, Cyprian wrote this: "Beloved brethren, we are not philosophers in words, but in deeds. We exhibit our wisdom not in how we dress, by the truth. We know virtues by their practice, rather than through boasting of them. We do not speak great things, but we live great things." This is how they understood the principle of patience. As James says so clearly here in his call to patience, the call here is to establish our hearts, establish our lives for the coming of the Lord. We are to be people who do not grumble and complain. That is the antithesis. Grumbling and complaining is the antithesis of patience. We are to let, as he says, but above all, at the end, let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, we are to live the truth out. We are to live consistent Christian lives. That was the particular power of the early Christian witness. And that is the missing power today. The early church believed in slowly permeating their families, their society, their culture. The early church patiently waited for the Lord to ultimately change hearts and to change things. The early church focused more on walking than they did on talking. I want to move secondly this evening, and much more briefly, to the promise of patience. Because James cites two things to bolster our faith and to help us endure, to help us to live consistently patient lives as we wait for the coming of the Lord. And under this second point, the promise of patience, you might have room for two subpoints, because he cites two things here. And the first is, notice, farming. He cites farming. Now, I don't like to garden, and I would never have made it as a farmer, because I lack the patience to wait for the inevitable growth that will come when one waits for the natural process to work itself out. And James cites farming as a perfect example of the promise that attends the patience that we are called to. His point is that God is never slack concerning His promises. And therefore, there will be precious fruit from our patient submission to His will. It will happen. God will bring forth fruit as you are patient, just like the farmer who patiently waits for that precious fruit to come. And they held on to this because they knew it was God who would produce it. We must wait, but the fruit will come because God is the one who will bring it. Secondly, James cites, first he cites farmers. Secondly, here he cites our forefathers. He notes both the prophets of old and Job, who were blessed for remaining steadfast. In fact, he says that we can look back now. Notice how he says this here. We can look back now and we can see the purpose of the Lord in those previously difficult times that our forefathers endured. We look back and we see the persecution of the prophets. We look back and we see Job's hard life of trial. But James says, and yet you can see, we have the vantage point now to look back and see that even though they were in great trial and they endured very difficult times, and though even though it didn't seem like it at that time, the Lord, as it says there in verse 11, the Lord is compassionate and merciful. That's what we can see. We have the vantage point to be able to look back and see, even though those were hard times and even though they couldn't see it at the time, we know now God is merciful and compassionate. That is the call. That's a call to trust the Lord, even when we can't. One Puritan said, trust the Lord even when you cannot trace His steps, even when you can't see His plan and His reasons. The promise of patience is that the Lord is entirely in control and He is entirely trustworthy. We are called to live lives that show that we trust Him, to live lives that demonstrate that we are waiting on Him for every good thing. Indeed, as we conclude this evening, I want to mention one last matter on this theme, which actually shaped the lives of the early church, and it undergirds this call of James here in our passage to live patiently. And this final thing I want to mention is this. Patience is a divine attribute. Patience is a divine attribute. Patience describes the very way that God Himself deals so graciously and kindly with us. When you look at the Old Testament, and it is a record of how God endured His people of old, how God patiently and steadfastly hung with His people, seeking their repentance, seeking their growth in grace, patiently planning for and awaiting the day that His Son would take on our flesh and save us. The early church looked and said, this is God's very way of dealing with us. And each of us who are Christians, we know that He has waited for us, that He has been patient with us, seeking our repentance, seeking our growth in grace, dealing so kindly with us, not as we deserve, but patiently. And therefore, the call to patience really is nothing more than a call to be like Him. That is, to deal with others as God in Christ has dealt with you. That is, He has been patient with you. The call is to trust that God will bring His kingdom, that God will save His people, that God will work His promises out concerning your children, that God will glorify His name in time and in all the earth. We need to be patient. The patience of His people in the past turned the world upside down, and it could do it again. The call for us is to patiently wait for the Lord. Let me read the passage one more time as we conclude. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Please bow with me in prayer. O Lord, our God, we acknowledge your steadfastness, your patience with us, your kindness that has led us to repentance. Lord, we pray that we could learn of you and that you would work that character, your own character in us, that we would learn to be patient with one another, that we could be patient with those who we work with our neighbors, under the trials that you grant us and give us in this life, that we could be steadfast, knowing that you are compassionate and merciful. And so, Lord, we look to you. We know this is a fruit of your Spirit, and we pray that He will produce it in our lives, that we might be known in our culture and in our community as patient people, because we wait upon you. We are submitted to your will, and we're waiting for you to fulfill the promises that you have made. Ultimately, your Son coming back. So make us patient people, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.